I'm glad we can come to the house of God and look into the Word of God and let it help the people of God and tell others how they can become part of God's people if that's their need. So I trust that you are appreciative of that fact as well. When you look into the Bible and you see the chapter and verse divisions and the various psalms as they are divided, you come to Psalm number 119 and you find it's very lengthy. There are 176 verses in Psalm number 119. And if you want one theme that's very prevalent in those verses, it is the Word of God. Various terms being used to refer to the Word of God that we know as the Bible. In today's message, we're going to look at only a short selection of verses from that psalm, but you'll see that emphasis there. So the subject of today's message is simple yet very important. Loving the Bible. Loving the Bible. People love all kinds of people and they love all kinds of things, but they ought to love God and love His Word. They need to love the Bible. Let me ask you a basic question. Do you own a Bible? There might be people in the world who do not. But do you own a Bible? Very likely you do. Some of you might have more than one. Let me ask you this. Do you remember your first Bible? And if you do, was it special to you? It should have been. And so I'll ask this. Is the Bible, whichever copy you're looking at, whatever kind of cover it has, when you talk about the contents, is the Bible special to you now? Whatever your age may be, whatever life throws your way, is the Bible special to you? It is to me. Do I know it all? Absolutely not. Do I understand everything? Absolutely not. That's one thing about it. It's the Word of God, and it is beyond what people could come up with on their own. So it ought to be special. I want you to think about how the Bible is special and how we can have an impact on those around us, including the younger ones who come behind us. There's a poem titled His First Bible. Will you please listen to these words? A little boy's first Bible is the greatest thrill he's known. There's a sweet, unique excitement in a Bible all his own. And yet my heart is smitten as this touching sight I see. Has his reverence for that Bible depended much on me? As I see him with his Bible, I bow my head and pray. May he always love that Bible the way he does today. Then I hear a voice within me speak in solemn words and true. How he cherishes that Bible will depend a lot on you. I love my Bible better since I've seen the beaming joy this wonderful possession has afforded to my boy. May I seek to give mine daily a devotion he can see, for the love he bears his Bible will depend a lot on me. The Bible ought to be precious to us. Now, I want to ask for your patience here because this is personal to me, but not all of you have heard me talk about it. But I am blessed to own numerous Bibles. Between my wife and me, we have multiple copies of the Bible. Not all published by the same people, not all the same versions, not all the same shape, not all the same size, not all the same color on the outside. But when you talk about the Word of God, that's what we're talking about, the Bible. They all ought to have a place of being special in our lives. But I have one. You may have your own story. I've got a couple that are special to me. But one is the New Testament. But I've got one that is right here. And it's not new anymore. So the pages are sort of messed up. And you may not be like me, but I'm just one little person. But I hate to accidentally bend down a page in the Bible like it's messing up the page. I hate to see a page get torn. You see, it's God's Word. It's not a magazine. It ought to be special to us. But you know why this one's special to me? Because I got it brand new when I was a senior in high school. Now, here's where I'm going with it. That evangelist Sid Robinson was preaching in our area, and he wrote in my Bible something that you probably heard from someone else before. But he wrote it in my Bible. It's still there. You know what he wrote? He put my name. He said, Philip, remember, this book will keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from this book. Can we have a show of hands? How many of you have heard that before? At least some of you. Those are wise words. So I just share that with you today. It's very true. The Bible is for our good. I believe that God is real. I believe His Word is real. I believe He has enabled us to have His Word in written form, that we might learn about Him, that we might know how to live, that we might do the things He wants us to do. We fall short many times, but the Bible is for our good. Do we realize that? We live in a country where, at least so far, you can still own one. We live where you can have more than one. We live where people can open and read and study and talk to other people without having to hide. We have a lot to be thankful for in spite of all the negative things in society. But let me ask you, how many Christians go to church? And how many Christians read the Bible? I'm very serious. Not attacking anybody. I don't want to be like that. But I'm asking you, how many of us read the Bible? How many of us open it up? It's one thing to come to church and the preacher or the teacher says, well, we're going to be looking at a certain passage of Scripture. It's good to look at that time. But what about when you're on your own? Do you open the Bible at home? Do you read any of the Word of God? I hope that you do, because it's very helpful to us. It's not a waste of time. The Bible can encourage us. It can do so many good things. It can encourage us and enlighten us and give us guidance and help and strength along the way, because it's God's Word to His people. So I hope the Bible is special to you, or that it can be. And remember that quotation. Either the book can keep us from sin, or sin can keep us from the book. There is some wisdom, I say again, in those words. Have you heard of Dwight L. Moody from yesteryear? Dwight L. Moody said, here's food for thought, I never saw a useful Christian who was not a student of the Bible. So that statement leads me to ask this question. I could ask myself, but may I ask you, are you what he called a useful Christian? Are you a useful Christian who reads and studies the Bible? That's the way it needs to be. Listen, folks, because of what God has done for us, and I'm talking about He has saved us and blessed us and done good things for us, because of what He's done for us, we need to love the Lord and we need to love His Word. Now, I can stand up here and say that, but it's my responsibility as well as yours to make an effort to do what we're supposed to do, to love God and to love His Word. God, I say or say again, has given us His Word for our benefit. And I would think I'd be on safe ground to say there are people in this building today that know, as I have learned, that when you let the Bible talk to you, it can encourage you, it can do things for you that nothing else can do. It's the living Word of the living God. And so life goes better. This is not a waste of words now. Life goes better when we let the Lord direct our ways in accordance with His guidance. Where do we find His guidance? Well, yes, the Holy Spirit leads in the lives of Christian people, but the Holy Spirit never leads in contradiction to the Word of God. The Holy Spirit leads according to what we know as the Bible. The Bible has been viewed by many people down through the years, either positively or negatively, and that's still the way it is today. You can go back in history. Not everybody loved God a long time ago. Am I telling the truth? I think of our country, and I read some things from some of the presidents. If you go way back, Calvin Coolidge was president at one time of these United States, and you can see from something he said that the Bible can be viewed in a positive way. It can be viewed as a solution to world problems. Whenever we had recent elections, how many candidates did you hear on TV talking about the Bible gives us good guidance? And if we look to the Bible, we can solve all these problems we have. Did y'all hear that? Just asking. Well, let me tell you that when Calvin Coolidge was president, there was an organization known as the Pocket Testament League. And that league prepared a beautiful, specially bound copy of the New Testament to give to him as president. And so they sent a committee. Guess you got to have more than one sometimes. They sent a committee to Washington to present the little book, the New Testament, to Mr. Coolidge. And the chairman is said to have made a, see if you can believe this, a lengthy and flowery presentation speech while the president listened. Well, when he got it, he graciously received it. And here's where the little story goes. He apparently was one of few words. It was characteristic of him. But he lifted up the copy of his New Testament, something like this. And he said, "Gentlemen, in this book will be found the solution of all the problems of the world." Now let me ask you, do you think he was onto something? Do you think he had a good point right there? We have to be practical in life, but you can be practical and learn the principles of God as well. And I think that's the way it ought to be. Wouldn't it be great if we had a greater reverence for God? Wouldn't it be great if we had a greater acknowledgement of the things of God in our lives? And there was a time when it was different than it is even now. Well, I want you to look with me, please. And we're going to read verses 97 through 104, this short section from Psalm 119 at this time. And I want you to please look carefully at the words we see and let it talk to you. The psalmist said, "Oh, how love I thy law." That's an exclamation statement right there, an exclamatory statement. "Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. Thou through thy commandments hast made me wiser than mine enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients, because I keep thy precepts. I have refrained my feet from every evil way, that I might keep thy word. I have not departed from thy judgments, for thou hast taught me. How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through thy precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way." Now, having read those verses, please follow with me, and I would like to comment at least briefly on what we've just read. In these verses, multiple words, as throughout Psalm 119, multiple words are used to refer to the Word of God. And of course, when we say Bible, we're talking about the Word of God. Notice with me the key words. Verse 97, it's law. Verse 98, commandments. Verse 99, testimonies. Verse 100, precepts. Verse 101, word. Verse 102, judgments. Verse 103, words in the plural. And then verse 104, the word precepts again. So all these terms are used with reference to the Word of God. And notice in verse 97 how the psalmist made that exclamation that I emphasized already. He said, "Oh, how I love your law." Have you ever exclaimed on anything in your life and you did it with meaning, you did it with feeling, and it's like, "Oh, I just love that so much," and you may be very sincere. Can we maybe apply that to loving the Bible, to love God's Word? That's the way it needs to be. I really hope that people in this place today love the Bible enough to where if you find that you haven't given much attention to it lately, you feel like, "I better get back to it." We need the Bible in our lives. We really do. The psalmist proclaimed, when you look at these verses we just read, that he gained a couple of things from God's Word. Now, there are many things we can benefit from when we read the Bible. But two words of importance, he gained wisdom and understanding. And do you know when you read and study your Bible, you find that there's no wisdom or understanding against the Lord. So if you want wisdom and understanding, the book of James says you can ask God for wisdom, and that's a good thing to do. But if you want wisdom and understanding, you can get those from the Word of God and not from the things of the world. Wisdom and understanding, he gained those things. Now, he also declared some things that he did. He said that he meditated on God's word. In verse 97, it's my meditation all the day. In verse 99, your testimonies are my meditation. If you meditate on something, that has the idea you're thinking on it. And to me, it means you think seriously on it. You don't just casually dismiss the idea, but you think on what you've read. You think on what you've heard. And that's, I believe, what he did. And he said not only that he meditated on it, but he said that he kept God's word. Do you see in verse 100, he said, I understand. He said more than the ancients, but he said, I understand because I keep your precepts or I keep your words. Do you realize we can say on that basis that the more we obey God's word, the more things make sense. We understand the more we obey. It all fits together. Obeying God, being faithful to God, understanding, having wisdom in life, they all fit together in harmony in God's plan. So he meditated on God's word. You see, it wasn't just that, oh, he was privileged to have a copy in whatever form he had it at that time, or anyone since then, just to have a copy, but he meditated on it. He kept it. And you see in verse number 101 that it helped him to stay on the right path and off the wrong path. He said, I have refrained my feet from every evil way. If he refrained his feet, that sort of like feet, don't go walking over there where you don't need to be. Is that telling the truth? Do people usually walk where they choose to walk to? We know the answer. Sometimes people may have pressures in life, but generally speaking, we think, we speak, we act, we walk, we talk as we choose to. And so we usually carry our feet where our brains say, go to. As he said, I have refrained my feet from every evil way. I wonder how many of us could honestly say we've always kept our feet out of the evil in the sense that we've never gone the wrong way. We've never gone down the wrong path. We've never made a bad decision. Well, we're not perfect, are we? But you see, the Word of God can help us. It really can. And so he said, I meditated on God's word. I kept his word. I kept my feet from the evil ways. And he said that he did not depart. In verse 102, he said, I've not departed from your judgments. Wouldn't it be great? I'm very serious now. Wouldn't it be great when we get to our earthly journey's end, whenever that might be today, might be later on, if we could look back, so to speak, and say, I really made an effort to not depart from the word of God. I really made an effort to not depart from God's way in my life. Well, in addition to these things, he said that God's word was sweet to him. In verse 103, he said, with another exclamatory statement, how sweet are your words unto my taste. So it's the terminology there. Could you say spiritual tasting? He was saying just like you eat something that's sweet. And he gave the example of honey. He said, God's word is sweet to me. So, do you love the Bible? That's what I'm talking about today. Loving the Bible. Do you love God's word? Does it have much meaning to you? Is the Bible just another book? Or is it something more special than that? I know the answer, and I hope you know the answer, but how do people treat it? Is the Bible any different than any other book? Because the world has had many authors and many books. The Bible ought to be above them all, don't you think? I'm not saying that everything else is bad. You got the good and the bad out there. But the Bible stands. The Bible stands. And it stands alone as the Word of God. So he said, how sweet are your words to me? And I do believe that some of you today can probably say that that makes sense to me. Because in my life there have been times that I slowed down enough to read from the Bible. And it was just a sweet experience. It was a blessing to me to just read what God had to say. I'm telling you, folks, this is not just idle philosophy. This is real. The Bible can be an encouragement to you. It can be a help to you along the way. And I believe that's by God's design. So, sweet, sweet, sweet to him and hopefully sweet to you and me. The psalmist, listen, had a determined lifestyle. I want to give you three things here that he essentially said. He had a determined lifestyle that was good. How do we know he had a determined lifestyle? Because he basically said, I think on what God's word says. I make the effort to do what it says. And I make the effort to not do what I'm not supposed to do. Okay? So, here in simple terms, he essentially said these three things. I love God's word. I understand God's word. I obey God's word. Now, we need to have a Christian lifestyle that's similar to his. Love, understand, obey. We also need to know that we can trust God. If you're going to read the Bible, you need to know, we all need to know that we can trust what God says. It's great to trust other people, but people sometimes make mistakes. Have you ever made one? Don't raise your hand. Have you ever made a mistake? I have. I don't necessarily need everybody to tell me about them. Do you? Don't you appreciate when people like to point out your mistakes? I'm being a little silly, but to be serious, we all make mistakes. That's just life. But sometimes we have to keep on going, right? We have to keep on going. But here's the thing. We need that lifestyle there. In spite of our faults and failures, God can help his people. We need to get to where we can love his word and understand and obey it and know that we can trust him. So I'm saying that we make mistakes. Sometimes we may not mean to, but we may fail in something. Maybe we forgot that we were going to help somebody and didn't intend to, or, you know, fail in some other way. But the thing is, God never fails. You ever heard the chorus, Jesus never fails? Earthly friends may prove untrue, but Jesus never fails. Jesus never fails. So we can trust it. And may I say to you, I believe that if Satan has his way, he will want every Christian. He can't stop you from being a Christian if you have Christ in your life. But I believe he would love it if every Christian would doubt God and doubt the Bible. But wisdom tells us not to do so. Understanding the Bible and having wisdom can tell us, don't listen to what Satan says over there. Trust God. Trust God. I want to mention this name. Somebody named A.B. Simpson asked the question, why doubt God's word? In answering that question, he wrote these words that I want to read to you. He said, it is strange we trust each other and only doubt our Lord. We take the word of mortals and yet distrust his word. But oh, what light and glory would shine o'er all our days if we always would remember God means just what he says. I hope we'll think on that and remember this. We can trust everything God says in the Bible. Even if we don't fully understand everything we're going through, even if we don't understand everything we read in the Bible, we can trust that it's right. We can trust God. We can trust his word. We don't have to be wondering and worrying and afraid that we cannot trust what the Bible has to say. Well, I want to read something else to you. You have very likely heard this before. I'm serious. Or read it yourselves. But it's so good about the Bible. It's not a Bible verse. It's about the Bible. So I want to read it to you. It's a paragraph about so big. In other words, it takes a few inches on the page. But it's very good. So please listen to this. The Bible contains the mind of God, the state of man, the way of salvation, the doom of sinners, and the happiness of believers. Its doctrines are holy. Its precepts are binding. Its histories are true. And its decisions are immutable. Read it to be wise, believe it to be safe, and practice it to be holy. It contains light to direct you, food to support you, and comfort to cheer you. It is the traveler's map, the pilgrim's staff, the pilot's compass, the soldier's sword, and the Christian's charter. Here, paradise is restored, heaven opened, and hell disclosed. The Lord Jesus Christ is its grand object, our good its design, and the glory of God its end. Read it slowly frequently, prayerfully. Let it fill the memory, rule the heart, and guide the feet. It is a mine of wealth, a paradise of glory, and a river of pleasure. It is given you in life, will be opened in the judgment, and remembered forever. It involves the highest responsibility, will reward the highest labor, and will condemn all who trifle with its sacred contents. Those are some powerful words, but very much worthy of our consideration. The Bible stands above all other publications, the Word of God. Now, the most important thing for anybody in the world is to realize the truth of the Bible that, oh, I need Christ as my Savior from sin to go to heaven. But I'm especially talking to Christians who have that relationship with God. Do we love the Bible? Loving the Bible should be important to us in our lives. Let me mention another president. Most of you, I think, would have heard of Abraham Lincoln. Abraham Lincoln wrote these words, probably many words, but here's what I want to read to you. He wrote these words about the Bible. He said, "In regard to this great book, I have but to say it is the best gift God has given to men. All the good Savior gave to the world was communicated through this book. But for it, we could not know right from wrong. All things most desirable for man's welfare, here and hereafter, are to be found portrayed in it." Oh, I hope you're still with me in your minds and in your hearts today. I'm talking about loving the Bible. I can't make you love the Bible. You can't make me love the Bible. But listen, folks, the Bible says we love Him because He first loved us. And if we love Him, it should follow that we love His Word. And maybe some of us could digest it more than we do. But we need to love God and love His Word. So let me ask you today, are you a Christian? And if so, do you love God? Do you love His Word? Remember what was mentioned earlier. We need to love, understand, and obey God's Word. And listen, when we make that effort, you know what happens? Good things. When we make that effort, we learn that His Word is helpful and has great meaning. We learn that His Word is precious and sweeter than honey. That's the Word of God. Now, if you're not a Christian, please let this be the day that you ask God for forgiveness and by faith receive Jesus Christ into your life as your Savior. But as I close the message today, I want to encourage myself. I want to encourage you. I want us all to be encouraged, even from the Bible itself, that the Bible, the precious Word of God, ought to be precious and important to us. Not just when we come to church on Sundays, but it ought to be important in life as a whole. Day by day, loving the Bible. Let's stand, please, and bow our heads for prayer.